If you're tired of living under the burden of debt, stay tuned. Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom starts now. And here's your host, CEO and Chief Counsel of the Alliance Legal Group and Director of Christian Rights Ministries, Steve Taylor.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Don Mills, once again standing in for Attorney Steve Taylor. He had another court appearance at this hour, and so he asked me to step in and serve as his substitute. I am the chaplain of Christian Rights Ministries, which is part of the Alliance Legal Group, and that is also part of our ministry of offering financial freedom for people who are seeking it. And one of the ways that our law firm provides that is to offer bankruptcy opportunities for those who are sinking in debt. And so I must say that it is a great privilege to be able to speak to you today. We have one of our own attorneys who's on the line and getting ready to jump in and chat with us here. And he is Carter Budwell. He is a super fine young man and a friend of mine. He's a graduate of Regent University School of Law. He has a very strong Christian background. He has a background in ministry, and he makes it, he goes out of his way to have a very Christ-centered approach toward all of the legal things that he handles. So, Carter,
are you right there?
Oh, hello, Don. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. I'm just really happy once again that you could join us for this. I enjoyed listening to you when I'm listening to this broadcast, and I'm also happy to have Colleen here with us.
Hi, Colleen.
Hello, glad to have you both on today.
And so what I think we want to talk about is one of the things that is an event that doesn't get a lot of publicity, and I wish it did, is that today, May 6th, is the National Day of Prayer. And the National Day of Prayer is something that was issued by proclamation by President Joe Biden, and it has almost a 70-year history, going back to 1952, when legislation was proposed and passed by Congress and signed by President Eisenhower to designate a day in the year as a National Day of Prayer other than Sunday, and that's been going on ever since 1952. And so this happens to be the day, the first Thursday in May. And so what I would ask that we do is that we talk about that a little bit. And I want to just open it up to you, Carter, to talk about whatever God lays on your heart as far as your continued approach to ministry and helping clients. And perhaps especially, since today is a National Day of Prayer, talk about the role of prayer in your service as a lawyer. Again, that's it seems very incompatible, lawyers praying, but boy, that's one of the things that makes our law firm so unusual, and it makes you kind of an unusual young man as far as your approach to law. So you want to share some thoughts with folks, and I'm just going to open that up to you. And then one other thing before I turn it over to you is that all of those who are listening to us, if you want to call us and mention an aspect of concern you might have for our country that you want us to pray about, I invite you to do that. And I invite you also to set aside some time in your own personal devotions, whether you're at home or wherever you are, to pray for our country. And there are a lot of things that our country needs prayer for. And if there's something you want us specifically to remember in prayer, we will take note of that. And our number is 488-5299. And then one other thing is I'm going to turn this back over to Colleen for a second. She's going to talk a little bit about how you can avail yourselves of our services. And then I'm going to turn it back to you, Carter, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Colleen?
Okay, the program is brought to you by the Alliance Legal Group, and you can get in contact with them at debtfreeva.com. It's debtfreeva.com, and just chat with them and find out more information about your situation. They definitely specialize in bankruptcies and other things, but they are a legal firm that handles a lot of different aspects of law. So you can do that. DebtFreeVA.com. And you're heard every Tuesday and Thursday here at 1230. So thank you so much for being a part of the show. And again, you can call us at 488-5299.
All right, Carter, why don't you jump in?
Sure. Well, kind of some exciting updates since the last time I was on here. I think the last time I was on here, we talked about how we would send emails to clients asking them if they've decided to follow the Lord. And we've actually got a new texting system at the firm that originally we got it just to, you know, help us confirm our appointments, because it seems like texting can be a more effective way of reaching people than calling. And so we've actually also been using that to ask people the same question, if they've decided to follow Jesus. And that's actually getting a lot more responses. Usually we get people on there who say, yes, I have decided it. And they're usually pretty excited to get a text like that. It did open the door to talk with somebody about the gospel. So that was pretty exciting. And last week, I talked to someone on the phone. We got one of those texts, and, they just said, thank you for caring enough about me to ask about my eternal well-being.
That's
so
great.
So it's a pretty exciting update. And so with the National Day of Prayer, and you had asked about, what I see the role of prayer in ministry. I try to spend every morning in prayer. I actually usually get into my office on Newtown Road a little bit before I go to work. I like to spend some time reading scripture, and I've got all these fun little prayer guides and just a list of things, to be praying for. And one prayer that I don't pray it enough, but that I like to pray, and it can sometimes be a scary one to pray, is to ask God to arrange the details of my day. Because I think a lot of lawyers, sometimes I'm not the biggest fan of interruptions and everything, but if I've asked him to arrange the details of my day, then every phone call we get, whatever it may be, is a divine appointment. So
that's a good attitude.
I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to pray that prayer because, we have that typical fear. If I ask God to do this, he's going to, he's going to just make the day horrible. And I think we have some of the same fear when we're looking at giving our lives to God. I know that I struggle with, if I surrender to God, he'll have me do all these horrible things. But that's just not the heart of our Father in heaven. So,
no, I think it's part of human nature to want to be in control of things. And if we open it up like that and someone comes along and interrupts us, we lose a measure of control over how things are going. And a person can talk a long time. So I know that's got to be a challenge.
Right.
But, I think that that's what whenever I talk to a professional, whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or somebody, and I sense that they really care about me and that they're listening, that means a lot to me, rather than having them look at the clock and saying, when is this guy going to hurry up and get done? So, all right, well, that's great, Carter. What are some specific prayer concerns you have for the country as you see it?
Well, my biggest, concern for our country is that we would pray that there would just be a conviction of sin in the hearts of believers, first of all, because I think sometimes, especially as we pray for our country, it's important to remember that ultimately God is in control of everything. I think one of the things that really made me sad about this last year was seeing all the people, who were just acting as though everything hinged on who got elected and such, and really seems to be forgetting that, regardless of who we have, in Capitol Hill or in the White House, God is still on the throne. And,
yes.
And I think it's really important that we remember that and honor him in our lives.
Yes.
And so that's the big thing that I pray for. And I also pray that our churches would be in prayer for our leaders in our countries.
Yeah, so I think I certainly agree with that. The scriptures themselves emphasize the fact that it is God who raises up kings and puts them down. And we know that, as Paul says in Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. So no matter what we think about the last election in November, whether we would agree that it's a legitimate or not, we do have a man in the White House, and he is there by divine appointment. And that for that reason, we need to see that God has a plan for America that is much broader than what we see. And so I think that that ought to be encouragement to us. Are there any other concerns that you think about? What do you think about, in the, if you've done any thought on the area of education and the court system, and what's going on there where we don't seem to have judges and lawyers seem to be driven by an actual belief in absolute truth? It just seems to be somewhat relativistic.
Well, that's a good question, and yeah, it is easy to get pretty discouraged when we look at a lot of what's being taught in our universities and even in our primary and secondary educations. It does seem like teaching absolute truth does not seem to be a very popular notion these days, but it just reminds us, you know, back in Proverbs, that ultimately I think the job of raising children and educating them ultimately falls on the parents. You know, Proverbs admonishes us to, you know, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I get encouraged when I see the way that a lot of Christian parents are stepping up and helping form like homeschool co-ops and such that help give their children a godly education.
I think that's very, very important these days, considering the direction that so many public schools are going, not just in other states, but in our own state. It's somewhat disturbing when we think about some of the things that children are being exposed to that they shouldn't even be thinking about when they're so young. So we certainly need to pray about the state of education in our country. We need to pray about the media. We think about what's happening in the area of media. We don't, most people, it seems, at least many people, don't even trust the mainstream media anymore to provide objective news. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that. Do you even watch the news, or do you follow the news? What do you do?
Honestly, not very often, because honestly, I found that, and I got caught in this trap a lot, especially in 2020, just, you know, looking for any kind of glimmer of hope that we might have. And I found myself looking to the news way too often to try to find that hope. And as you pointed out, there's really nothing objective out there. Almost any news that we read or hear, it comes from somebody who has an agenda. And so I've just found, and it's a boundary I struggle with, but it's just, I try really not to listen as much to the news and media, because if that's replacing, you know, my trust in God for where my peace comes from, then I'm already standing in sinking sand.
Yes. And it just seems that as we look back on history, media has been put into the hands of pretty wicked governments, you know, to propagandize and control people. We certainly have seen that in history. All right.
Yeah, we have.
What about in the area of business ethics? Do you have any thoughts about the way business is being conducted in the country? Do you see, like, big business doing things that are disturbing to you, whether it's the major tech companies or large corporations trying to exert their muscle over, you know, our culture? Are there any concerns you have about that?
Well, you know, big businesses are just, they're run by people, and ultimately we have to remember that the goal of big business is to make money. So if they take a stance that is going to make them more money, they're probably going to take that. It seems like, though, you're probably referring to more like things like social media blocking certain people for saying things or stuff like that. And that is concerning. But what I have to remember is that, you know, as a Christian, I fight for the right to stand for what I believe in. And I also believe in, you know, the right, if a business or something does, you know, wants to put out there what they believe and not be associated with something, that they have the right to do that as well. I do think, though, that it gets a little risky when you're doing that on, like, mainstream platforms like Facebook and such.
And one of the things I think that at least conservative people face is, you know, we have these huge corporations that are ubiquitous, you know, and it's almost like it's impossible not to do business with them. You know, organizations that, you know, they pretty much have their tentacles everywhere. And no matter where you look, you think, well, I'll boycott this, you know, because I don't want to give them business if they're going to be like that. And then you find out, you know, that the place you go that to buy your stuff, they're under the same large corporation, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating, I think, for us.
Yeah, but what we have to remember, we shouldn't let that discourage us. After all, you know, when Jesus did his ministry, he was under the Roman Empire, and he had to deal with that kind of stuff all the time, and he didn't let it hinder him from what God had called him to do. And that's what I think we have to remember as Christians, that however discouraging the situation in the world may be, is that we're ultimately seeking to do God's will. And if that's what we're seeking to do, then even the biggest corporation in the world can't get in the way of that.
That's true. That's a very good point. Let's turn to the church. I stepped away from the mic for a second.
Okay.
I got to pay more attention here. Let's turn and talk about the church a little bit more, Carter. If you were to be given the opportunity to speak in front of a reasonable large group of believers regarding what's going on in our country, what's going on in our world, but what would you say as far as what the priorities ought to be for the American church especially?
Well, you know, something that I continuously ask God to do is set eternity into my heart. I think that if I was talking to an American church, sometimes I feel like our attention far too often is way down here. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said that no man is stronger than his prayer life. And if we look at the way a lot of American Christians spend their time, it really does not indicate a very high priority for the things of eternity, you know, the souls of our fellow men. And so if I had the opportunity, and not sure if I would want to speak in front of a large congregation or not, that might be a little intimidating, but I would just really, urge them to make sure that their priority is eternity, because we only have a few short years here on this earth. And God, I think, really wants us to be preparing for the day that we meet him. And yes, we do need to be involved with the issues down here, but if they're distracting us from him, then we've really got a problem.
Like, yes.
If you look at the apostles, they faced some very serious persecutions. I mean, they were beaten. They were pretty much all of them martyred. But you see throughout the book of Acts that they had their eyes on eternity. And no matter what the world threw at them, they kept their eyes on eternity. I mean, you don't read about, them feeling depressed or anything. They went forth with great power. And I think that's because, they were in unity. They were in prayer regularly, and they sought God for his strength, and they had an eternal perspective.
Yes, that's very true. Now, remember when I said if you had an opportunity to speak before a large congregation, what would you say? Well, you are speaking in front of a large congregation. We got listeners
well,
all across him. Sort of set you up that way, didn't I? Let me ask you this.
A little bit.
You've had experience in missions. I would like to ask you, what did you learn from being on the mission field that might help you if you were to continue your message to American Christians? What are the things you saw in the mission field as far as their priorities? What are some of the things you saw? Well, I know you have a missionary family that are close friends of yours, and they're facing hardship all the time. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think what I remember from the mission field, I was in Haiti. It was back in 2010 after the earthquake, and somebody told us, what is the recipe for being a good missionary? And they said adaptability, adaptability, adaptability. And they said adaptability to God, adaptability to culture, and adaptability to God and the culture. I think sometimes in America we can just get so isolated in whatever clique we might be in, that we really fail to see what God is doing. And, there's a lot of cultural challenges in America. We have people of so many different backgrounds and beliefs in this country that if we really want to be successful witnesses of God, we really have to have a missionary mindset. You look at Hudson Taylor, he was very adaptable to the Chinese culture. Anything that wasn't out of line with Scripture, he adopted so that he could be a more effective witness for Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's very good. Let me just jump in here. We have Tony from Arizona, and he's on the broadcast with us right now as well. I don't know how to handle this, Colleen. Do you allow more than one person on the line at the same time?
Or how does that work?
All right.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Tony. I know you haven't met Carter personally, but Tony is our friend from Phoenix, Arizona. He joins us on our Bible studies every morning. And,
nice.
He's a solid disciple of the Lord, and Lord willing, he's going to be moving out or moving back our way in our area in the next several weeks or months. So, Tony, what do you got to say to us today?
So, what's the topic today? I came on late. Sorry.
All right. Well, we're talking primarily about the National Day of Prayer. With today being the National Day of Prayer, Carter and I have been discussing, along with Colleen, some of the things we need to do to pray for our country and some of the areas where our country needs prayer the most. So that's kind of what we're handling right now. And we're inviting callers to chip in. So would you like to share some thoughts about what you believe are the prayer priorities for American Christians?
I would say for American Christians, for their faith, for the unity of the country, for people to be able to get over this, whatever this divisional thing going on is, and work together as a nation to help our country regrow itself back to where it needs to be. I believe there's a lot trying to divide us, and I believe we're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that we as a country need to look at our faith and what the gospel says, how to react to things, and try and stay within those parameters the best way we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Unity is so very, very important, and that's one of the big challenges, is that we just seem to be so divided ideologically. I mean, it's going to take nothing short of a miracle of God to bring together two largely diverse groups with such a radically different worldview. But it can mm-hmm. certainly happen, and we need to pray to that end. We believe that all things are possible, and we've seen throughout history God answering prayer on behalf of nations. All you got to do is read the Old Testament, mm-hmm. see all the great things God did for the people of Israel. And even in throughout history, where we see the providence of God overruling things that happen as a result of people praying. So we encourage all of you that way. Any other thoughts you might have? And I want Colleen to feel like she should chip in too. She's been quiet like a mouse over here, and we got to keep her busy to make her day go fast. So
I'm just running the technical side of things, that's all.
Oh, okay. All right. So I don't know if I have any further questions to ask for either Carter or Tony. So if you have any thoughts you'd like to chip in and keep this growing, I would welcome that.
You were talking about God's providence. One of my favorite stories is about how you see God in the way he worked in Switzerland, around the time of the Reformation, with the preaching of John Calvin. You know, a lot of people in Switzerland really started to apply the Bible to every area of their lives. I mean, a lot of them were building extra stories on their house to help refugees. And you just look at the way the gospel transformed Switzerland.
Yes, indeed. And the culture can be transformed by a gospel proclamation. That is certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think we put the cart before the horse and think that our job is to transform culture. And although I think we should be salt and light, mm-hmm. cultural transformation can be the byproduct of faithful gospel preaching and proclamation.
Right.
Well, while we're on the topic of prayer, President Biden actually did issue a proclamation. And I've read through it. We all have our opinions about President Biden. But there were a couple of things that he said that I think are actually pretty good, that prayer has nourished countless souls and powered moral movements, that it's a daily practice for many, he has written, that the First Amendment of our Constitution protects the rights of free speech and religious liberty, including the right of all Americans to pray. So, he said that. He's talked about praying about the deadly pandemic and the loss of lives in regard to that. And pray for healing in the area of racial division. So he said a lot of good things. And the fact that we can have the privilege as Americans, we celebrate the good fortune that we have to exercise our convictions freely. And so he is following along the lines of this National Day of Prayer that was came into effect in 1952 under the presidency of Dwight Eisenhower, having been passed in Congress. And this is something that has been observed every year. And then in the past few years, it's been ramped up as a National Prayer Task Force has been organized. I want to do something before I forget, and I want to give you, everybody who's listening, the website to the National Day of Prayer. You should know what this is so you can go and look at it. There's a lot of good resources on the history of the National Day of Prayer, how to pray for America, President Biden's presidential proclamation, and other things like that that are very good materials that can help you and then prepare you for next year when they have it again, which is, again, the first Thursday of every May. So that website is nationaldayofprayer.org. National Day of Prayer, all one word, nationaldayofprayer.org. And that's the website you go to learn a little bit more about this annual event, nationaldayofprayer.org. And Christian Rights Ministries and the Alliance Legal Group has supported the National Day of Prayer for many, many years. And we will continue to do so until the Lord returns. Now, we only have just a few minutes left. And I want to give Carter a couple of things to say, and then maybe Tony, and then we'll wrap this up. Carter, again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join the broadcast. I really think it's great that people who are listening can get to know you and consider the Alliance Legal Group as a place to come if they ever have a legal need, not just bankruptcy, of course, but actually, Carter, you handle other areas, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've handled a few different areas, primarily bankruptcy, but typically if you call and you have an issue that we're not familiar with, we can help you find somebody who can help you.
Okay, great. That's great.
Yeah.
And Colleen, what is that website again?
DebtFreeVA.com, DebtFreeVA.com. You might need to put the www in front of it, but DebtFreeVA.com.
All right, that's great. Tony? Do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, I just think the National Day of Prayer is something that we should focus on maybe even more than one time a year.
Oh, absolutely.
That's true.
The more prayer we can gather among ourselves and the more we can unify people across our country, I believe the more God will move. I believe God is always waiting for his people to humble themselves and pray, as the scripture says. And that's not that doesn't mean, you know, begging. It sometimes just means taking a moment and say, okay, Lord, we need you.
That's
right. We really need you today, Lord.
All right. So let me wrap up the broadcast. We only have about a minute and a half left. Once again, thanks to Colleen for helping. And thanks to Tony. Thanks to Carter. And I hope to talk to you guys again, Lord willing. All right. Well, let me just say that in the end here, if we really do believe God exists, and if we believe that he is all powerful, that he hears prayer, then I really think that we need to make prayer a priority. He's a living God. He's a prayer-hearing God. He's a prayer-answering God, not only in your personal life, but on the national level. Colleen, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, we appreciate you all listening today and tuning in to the program. Again, focus on the National Day of Prayer. It's a great thing to be a part of. And whether you're praying by yourself in your own home or business, or if you're part of a celebration or part of a service today, just take time and be a part of that National Day of Prayer. Find out more information by going to the nationaldayofprayer.org. And again, we appreciate you listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom, heard every Tuesday and Thursday right here from 12:30 until 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us as well, Don.
Thank you very much, Colleen. It was a pleasure, and look forward to listening to these again and hopefully being on once again.
You've been listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for more Christ-centered solutions to financial problems. If you would like more information about the Alliance Legal Group or Christian Rights Ministries, please visit debtfreeva.com or call 757-923-4357. That's 757-923-4357.